ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Again, Onesimus was a runaway slave, okay? He not only ran away from Philemon, but according to verse 18, it seems like he stole some things from Philemon. So he's in trouble. And notice what Paul's doing here. And it's interesting because it shows great wisdom. He's basically saying, you know, my beloved friend Philemon, before I tell you what I need from you, keep in mind that I'm an old man. I'm the aged one. Not only that, I'm also a prisoner. Is he buttering him up? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But not in a bad way. Everything he's saying is true. Why did he do this? Because every time someone brought up the name Onesimus, it maybe made the hair on the back of Philemon's neck stand up. Have you seen Onesimus? Yeah. Oh, man, that guy, Onesimus, yeah. No, he ran away, haven't heard a thing from him yet. So Paul's kind of just working this in there. And so he says, look, I appeal to you for my son whom I begotten while in my chains, Onesimus. He kind of throws it in there. Maybe a dramatic pause, I don't know. And I think Onesimus thought, you know what? Rome is filled with people. Who's going to find me? Really? Think of all the people in Rome, hustle and bustle. You know, you just blend in with the people. You know who found Onesimus in Rome? God did. And we don't know how, you know, if someone brought Onesimus to Paul. We don't know how this thing got together, but it did, and he gets saved. It's the sovereignty of God, the hand of God, his plan. Predetermined appointment, I guess you might say. There's also this ancient Greek law, which the Romans inherited. They could, if they wanted to, allow any escaped slave a place of sanctuary at the altar. And the altar could be the hearth of a private family home. So the head of the family was then obligated to give that slave protection, and he tried to persuade the slave to return to his master. If he refused to go back, then he would have to put the slave up for auction and give the money to the slave owner, to the slave's former master. So Onesimus, maybe that's what's going on here. Paul's gave Onesimus protection, and now he's working the issue out with Philemon for Onesimus to return to him. And it's kind of interesting because verse 11 here, we kind of miss out in the English what is being said. You know, the English reads, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Onesimus' name means profitable or useless. You see, at one point, Onesimus was not useful. He was unprofitable. But now that he's received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he is profitable. He can live up to his name. I like the way the Living Bible puts that verse. Onesimus, whose name means useful, hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he's going to be of real use to both of us. Yeah. Onesimus was not only going to be useful to Philemon, but also to Paul. His whole life is going to change. I don't think Onesimus was a very good slave. I think he was kind of a rebellious one. How do I know? He ran away. I don't know. I mean, it just seems obvious. And he stole from his master. So I don't think he was a great guy. Something changed now. He got saved. It's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. He's a new man. Not just dressed differently outwardly. Change from the inside, and that inside change that God has made is manifested in his outward characteristics, the things that he does. This one who was once useless, not profitable outside of Christ, is very useful, profitable in Christ, because the old life has passed away and he has a new life in Christ. He's useful. Look at verse 12. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Yes, under Roman law, Philemon had every right to put Onesimus to death for what he did. You know, he not only ran away from his master, but again, he stole from his master as well. Roman law allowed it. I mean, 60 million slaves. 25% of Rome's population were slaves. That's incredible. And if you were caught and your master didn't want to put you to death, he'd brand you with an F. Can you imagine a big F on your forehead? No. But that's what they did. Now here again, there's no mention that slavery was wrong or needed to be abolished. And again, people struggle with that. How could that be? How could God not come against it? Because that's not what it's about. You know, you get rid of slavery, right? You got women trafficking now. So are we any better off? No. It's just as bad. Why? Because you haven't changed the heart of man. You stop one wickedness, believe me, they come up with many more. Because the heart of man is wicked. One writer put it like this. He said, the attitude of the New Testament towards slavery comes into focus in this epistle. We notice that Paul does not condemn slavery or prohibit it. In fact, he sends Onesimus back to his master. But the abuses connected with slavery are condemned and prohibited throughout the New Testament. Forcible revolution is not the Bible way to correct social evils. The cause of man's inhumanity lies in his own fallen nature. The gospel attacks the root cause and offers a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is conceivable that a slave who has a kind master might be better off than if he were independent. This is true, for instance, of believers who are bondservants of the Lord Jesus. Those who are his slaves enjoy the truest form of freedom. In sending Onesimus back to Philemon, Paul was not doing an injustice to the slave. Both master and slaves were believers. Philemon would be obligated to treat him with Christian kindness. Onesimus would be expected to serve with Christian faithfulness. Absolutely. You know, think about it. Prohibition, right? No more alcohol. How did that go? Well, they were making it. Moonshine. People had their distilleries, right? So you had a law that said no alcoholic beverages. People broke the law. Imagine that. Again, it's a heart issue here. And you can change all the laws you want. It's not going to matter. Some people will obey it, no doubt, because, you know, that's just the way they are. But for the most part, I mean, look at what went on in Seattle, right? That's a heart issue there. And I think, you know, for us, that's the key. Lord, help us to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Because that's the only thing that's going to change them. They are being conformed to the image of the world, whether we agree with it or not. And you may not like this, but the church is being conformed into the image of the world. All you have to do is look at what's going on in some churches. And it's not a worship time and a hearing of God's word. It's an entertainment time and a rock concert. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to a concert. But when I come to church, I come to worship God. When I go to a concert, I just want to hear music, right? It's different. But here, I want to worship God, and I want to hear from him. And so when I worship the Lord, I'm preparing my heart to receive his word. That's why worship is so important to me. And for Paul, he's telling Philemon, look, I'm sending this man back to you. Don't punish him, man. He doesn't deserve it. Or he does deserve it, I guess. Don't put him to death. Treat him as I do. Be merciful to him. And Philemon, or Paul makes this appeal to Philemon based on three things. First, if Philemon lets him stay with Paul as he ministers to Paul, it would be as if Philemon was serving Paul for Onesimus was his slave. That's kind of an interesting thought. You know, we might not be able to go to the mission field, go to faraway countries, but we can support them and be rewarded as they are. In other words, Philemon, if you leave Onesimus with me, it's like you're serving me because Onesimus is your rightful servant. Secondly, he wants Philemon to remember that he is in chains and thus Onesimus can be a great help to him. Again, we can help others who may be chained, unable to help themselves. Philemon, I know Onesimus might be of some use to you, yet I am in chains and need all the help I can get. And his third point, Philemon was told that Paul was in chains for the gospel, and Onesimus may be able to assist him in getting the gospel message to others. He may be Paul's feet, you might say. And we need to assist in the work of the ministry, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, Philemon, please don't forget why I'm here in chains. Remember that it's for the sake of the gospel. And Paul, you know, the aged, the elder, you might say, left it up to Philemon. It's his decision. It was his slave who ran away and stole from him. But what an appeal we see here for Philemon to love Onesimus. He didn't want Philemon to be pressured, but just to respond in love. And that's the way we should do things for the Lord, just out of love, not feeling like we're pressured or under compulsion to give, that we feel pressured to give, not at all. Well, look at verse 15. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. This is an interesting point. He's telling Philemon basically, in other words, Philemon, even though Onesimus meant you evil, stole some money, ran away, God used it for good to save him and bring him back to you. More than just a slave, now he's a brother in Christ. Wow, what a change. Runaway slave, stole from his master, returning a brother in the Lord. Just forgive him. And maybe this is the reason he ran away in the first place, to get saved. Now, Onesimus didn't do that. He didn't, I need to run away and go to Rome and see Paul to get saved. No. But God used that to get him saved. And now he could be useful to you. Just the transformation of an individual. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, but mark this word. The true reforming of the drunkard lies in giving him a new heart. The true reclaiming of the harlot is to be found in a renewed nature. I see certain of my brethren fiddling away at the branches of the tree of vice with their wooden saws. But as for the gospel, it lays the axe at the roots of the whole forest of evil. And if it be fairly received into the heart, it feels all the bad trees at once. And instead of them, they're springing up the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together to beautify the house of our master's glory. Absolutely. To change a society, you need the heart of man to be changed. And that can only happen through Christ. So, again, we might be thinking, you know, what's the big deal? Onesimus is coming back as a Christian. Is it that big of a deal? Yeah. Because Philemon had to forgive him. And isn't that one of the hardest things for us to do? To forgive. And yet, that's what God calls us to do. Why should I forgive that person? With all the things that they did to me, how can I forgive them? I can't. They stabbed me once. I'm not going to let them stab me again. They didn't treat me right. And yet Jesus said in Matthew 18:35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Think about that one. Now you may be thinking, well, you know, they were just wrong in how they treated me. And that's true. But think about all the things that God forgave you of. Everything. Now we don't think a whole lot about that, do we? But what if I was to say, you know, Joe, tonight I've got, the Lord gave me this. He sent me this DVD of your entire life, all the things in your heart, all the things you did in your life, and we're just going to play it here to show how much he forgave you. None of us would like that. We'd be like, no way. Everyone get out of here. because we know how bad we are. God says, look, I forgave you about all that. Now, can you forgive this person for what they did to you? See, it gives us a whole different perspective. And it's a hard one. You know, in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Yeah. Paul was not going to force Philemon to love Onesimus, but it's really what needed to happen in his life. It's what the Lord wanted. In fact, you know, Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, verses I'm sure we know, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I find that interesting. You know, they'll know we are Christians by the Christian t-shirts we wear. No, it really doesn't say that. They'll know we're Christians if we have, you know, that oversized Bible that weighs 22 pounds. People will definitely know we're Christians. No. They'll know we are Christians by our Christian bus bumper stickers. Absolutely not. I've seen you drive. No, they will not know you're a Christian. How will they know we're Christians? By our love. Well, isn't that completely different than the world? The world is hating and fighting. And God says, you need to love. And we'll stick out like a sore thumb. How could you love those people? How could you reach out to them? How could you care for? Because God did that for me. And we need to allow God's love not only to flow into our lives, but through our lives and touch the hearts of the people around us. Well, as we finish up this evening, looking at verses 17 through 25, the final point is Paul, the burdened partner. Look at verse 17 here. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own life, own self besides. This is a pretty good appeal by Paul. He's saying to Philemon, look, you know, I know this guy's guilty. I know he wronged you. He stole from you. He's run away from you. He's totally guilty, deserves to be punished. He's a friend of mine now. He's a brother in the Lord. And if you punish him, then punish me. In fact, I stand beside him to take his punishment. Wow. That's what the Lord did for me, for you, for all of us. He stands beside us guilty sinners, and he's taken our punishment so we can enter into eternal life with him. That's an enormous debt that he paid for each and every one of us. If Onesimus did take something of Philemon's, and it, you know, from this it seems like he did, Paul says, you know, put it on my tab. Charge me. Put it in, charge my account. I'll take care of it. And then he slips this little side note in there. Paul's good. He says, Philemon, while we're looking at accounts and what is owed to you, keep in mind that you owe me your life, for I shared Christ with you, and you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You received him. Wow. Even your own self besides. I think he's talking about his salvation. Wow. Look at verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. So Paul, again, is just continuing to appeal to Philemon that he would do the right thing and forgive Onesimus and receive him back. And again, we see the kind of little play on words that we miss in the English. The word joy is more literally profit, and it translates the ancient Greek word oninomai, which is a root word for the name Onesimus. Paul's basically saying, let me have Onesimus back from you in the Lord. You know, he refreshed Paul, and Philemon has the opportunity to do the same by sending Onesimus back to Paul. Did it happen? We don't know. We don't know for sure, but, you know, Philemon was a godly man. And Paul's confident that he's going to do the right thing and even go beyond what he's asking. And I like it. He goes, you know, keep a guest room open for me because I know you're praying for me. I'm going to be released and I'll see you. So just keep that room open. Keep the pillows fluffed. And don't forget to leave the light on, right? I don't know. Some of you know the old, what is it, Motel 6? Whatever. All right. Verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, each of these names that Paul mentions here are found in Paul's letters to the Colossians. We see it in Colossians 4, verses 10 through 17. And so I really believe these two letters were sent at the same time to the same place, Colossae. That's where Philemon lived. And here's the thing. Just because Onesimus became a Christian doesn't mean he was not responsible for his former actions. You know, he needed to make restitution, which can be difficult at times, but it's the right thing to do. And you know how some people are. They feel, you know, they get saved and everything they did wrong is cleared. No, if you stole something, if you got arrested for it, you're going to have to pay restitution, either go to jail or whatever. Yeah, God forgives you, but the law of man, you're still responsible for. This is a little side note on Onesimus. This is a historical record, it's not from the Bible, but supposedly in 110 AD, the bishop of Ephesus was Onesimus. That's very interesting. This one unprofitable man, this runaway slave who stole, gets saved and eventually becomes the bishop of Ephesus. We don't know if that's true or not, but it could be. This runaway slave could have been in his late teens or early 20s when he ran away, which would make him around 70 in AD 110. So we don't know for sure. It's possible. Trapp tells us that Ignatius, in his epistle to the Ephesians, makes mention of Onesimus as pastor of Ephesus after Timothy. The Roman Martyrologi saith that he was stoned to death at Rome under Trajan the emperor. And here's the thing. Isn't it amazing what God can do with unprofitable people? It's crazy. I mean, if you ever get a chance, read the book Harvest about the Calvary Chapel pastors when Calvary Chapel got started. These guys were bikers, drug dealers. They were the worst of society. I mean, they were horrible. And they get saved, and God does an amazing thing in their lives. They're pastors. Very interesting book. And like I said, Martin Luther said, we are all the Lord's Onesimi. Yeah, we really are. And yet, look at the grace of God. How he uses people like us. He uses nobodies because he gets the glory. And I love how he closes this letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. Yeah, the grace of God. I think some of the things we could take from this letter is to have a heart of forgiveness for people, especially in the days we're living in where the hearts of man are growing cold. We have to show them the love of Christ. So forgiveness is important. The other thing is, never lose sight that God uses nobodies. You don't have to have all kinds of degrees after your name. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be highly educated. He uses nobodies to be able to glorify him through all that we can do. Can you imagine if God only used a certain group of people? Well, that would be horrible. But look around the room, look in churches around the world at the people that God uses. You go, that's crazy. God says, yep, he's mine, and I'm using him. Never forget that. And I'm going to close just because I can't think of a better way to close. Is from verse 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, what a wonderful story, Lord. You know, we see so much tragic stories today, but here's one that could have ended very bad, and it ended very well for one reason. This runaway thief, runaway slave, came to know you as Lord and Savior, and you transformed his life, and you used him mightily, not only touching others, but specifically touching his master, Philemon. Lord, help us to take to heart the lessons we learned through this letter and never forget that you are the one who's in control. And sometimes the people that seem the farthest away from God, that we would never believe would get saved, that are trying to hide out in this world, you know exactly where they're at. And as we pray, Lord, your Spirit begins to work on their hearts and they come to saving faith. Thank you for that encouragement, Lord. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.